Hello and welcome to the 16th ever Plebs on Footy podcast. I am your host, Rory O'Kane, and as always, I'm joined by Scott Fotheringham.
G'day, mate. You've told me I'm a little bit too selfish and that I need to ask you how you're going. So how was your week, mate?
I'd like a platform to complain without judgment, and I feel like this, like, just be sad. I just want to be sad.
Your platform's talking about the game.
Yeah, but I just like a moment without you judging me. I would like to be sad about North Melbourne losing for the third week in a row in my own space. I would just like some, without some interruption. And then I'd also like to build on that with complaining about the Australian rugby at the moment, because that was awful.
Okay, well, you can talk about that if you want, but you've got your weekly segment of Rory's excuses. We'll get to that.
Yeah, but see, you're judging me already here, Scott, and I just feel like it's unfair. I do not do this with you, Scott.
I saw you watching the game. You had some pretty ridiculous excuses going.
I'm an emotional person,
I'm interested,
Scott,
to see how many of them you're actually sticking by, because some of them were ridiculous.
It's heat of the moment kind of stuff. I've heard you watch Melbourne. You're no better.
Not excuses-wise. I'm equally as angry and passionate about it, but it's not. I don't just blame the umpires every game.
I think I had every right to blame the umpires every game. It's
okay,
a
so that's one you're sticking with, but we'll get to
really.
We get to the game.
You know? No.
Do you want to bitch about the rugby then? Is that your...
It's supposed to be an anecdote, but you made it a bigger thing than it was, Scott. You made me feel guilty about asking for
some time.
Is plebs
on footy becoming all types of footy now? Is that what you're trying to say?
Who calls rugby union footy?
Oh, some people do.
Do they?
It's a form of football.
Okay. But anyway, we're also joined by a special guest producer.
Exciting week.
We're extending the Plebs on Footy family to include my brother, Lachlan O'Kane.
G'day, everyone. Pleasure to be here. I am actually trying to take over Liam's job, so Liam better watch it.
Yeah, well, he came back for a week, Liam. Then he ditched us for two, so Lachie's in now.
Lachlan's nearly... in volume terms, nearly equaled Liam already.
Yeah.
Liam's only done four, I think.
He's even that bad, has he? We've done 16.
So.
How the hell we got to 16, I've got no idea.
Oh, we're an engaging listen, Scott. With thanks to the Plebs on Footy army out there. All the solid listeners that make
love
me...
our 20 friends and a couple of others who've listened once or twice.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it,
but we're building, Scott. We're building. We're expanding our reach. We will also have a special guest later on. It's a very, very family affair this week. We're going to be joined in bemoaning North Melbourne by my father. We're going to get him to have a quick few words.
I'm completely ambushed this week.
You are. You can't be an arsehole this week, Scott. You've got to be a normal human being.
That's all I do, man. I've got to be an arsehole. That's my role.
That's your bit.
Pretty much.
But anyway, let's get to the football. Let's start with everyone's second favourite segment. Gold jacket, green jacket.
It's our favourite Pooshie's mailbag.
Absolutely. This isn't very entertaining.
No, everyone loves gold jacket, green
jacket.
Scott,
this segment isn't
very
entertaining.
It's a great segment.
It is.
It's a way for us
to skip over the boring parts of the week.
But it's very efficient.
If this was people's favourite segment, it would be because they didn't like the podcast and this is the least we talk.
Well, that's probably the case. But anyway, basically, gold jacket, green jacket this week is pretty much the entire round.
Yeah.
You know, it would be. There was the one... interesting game, obviously.
There was one cracker of a game.
That surprised us, but still, it was a pretty woeful weekend.
It was not a good weekend.
So, one vote we're given to GWS Carlton.
Absolutely.
Probably because, I mean, the result's probably a bit unfair in them. What was it? It was
62 points. That flatters.
Yeah, Carlton were in for
Carlton
quite a
long
time.
They were looking good. They were hounding the ball. I think they're just a generally solid side. They're not great. They're nothing special. But they're not terrible either, which... huge improvement on what we thought they were going
to
be.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of bit part players, a lot of like B to C graders who just do their role, and they've been given a role now, and they know exactly what they've got to do. And
they have very few players who are sort of a negative impact on the game, which last year, that was all over the park.
That was every player.
Yeah, except for Cripps.
Yeah, pretty much.
But this year, everyone's just playing a little bit better. And while they're not, this isn't going to build into anything special, unless they draft really well from here. It's just a good thing to see.
Well, hopefully the Silvani moves end up paying off.
Oh, the Silvani, the younger, is actually looking all right in the VFL. Oh,
all right. That's a bit off topic. Off my train of thought.
It's a segue, Scott.
Yeah, okay.
For GWS, pretty good performance. Although Jeremy Cameron... his form's a bit worrying. He hasn't played well the last month or so.
Yeah, his first few weeks in,
he was on fire.
Yeah, and we all thought, oh, jeez, how good is Cameron? He's the one who's making the difference. And they've kind of kept their form whilst he's been struggling a little bit. But yeah,
I think he's kicked 8 goals in the last 5 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's not woeful.
No, but it's not great. And
Lobb's kept playing well, which I don't think anyone really expected.
I like him. He's just like all arms and legs.
Round one against Melbourne, he killed us, and I thought, oh, this is some guy who'll play one good game. We won't see him again. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right. But let's move on, because that's what the point of this segment is.
Yep.
On to number two. What gets 2 votes?
2 votes, we're going Collingwood Freo. We've had the review from Mr. O'Kane saying it was the worst game of footy he's ever
it's
seen.
The first time we've got negative criticism that we weren't expecting.
I think that's a little bit extreme, but it was not a good game of footy.
No, it wasn't.
Not particularly impressive from either team. Not
lowest crowd for a Collingwood game in like 7 lifetimes, I think it was.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it was bloody cold.
It was bloody cold.
Give them that a little bit.
Collingwood aren't any good, and Freo aren't any good.
You'd think with the Collingwood fans, you'd think there'd be enough. Yeah, they're still loyal.
I would have thought they would have a few more would have turned out because they thought they could win.
Yeah, well, you just never expect to see 20,000 a Collingwood game.
No,
even if they're playing Freo on a bloody.
We've seen this a little bit. Richmond have had some really poor attendances. Carlton last year had some very poor attendances.
And footy's going well. Our footy's exciting this year.
I'm not sure these clubs are as strong as with real tied-on support. Way to ruin my flow there, Scott. With real tied-on supporters, as we are led to believe. I'm not sure they're as powerful.
Well, Richmond have been terrible for 30 or 40 years, and they've still got a fair supporter base.
Yeah, but they've been okay. You've got to be impressed with that. Yeah. But I'm just saying, I don't think there's as vast a difference in actual full-on diehard supporters as people think.
A lot of bandwagoners, you're suggesting.
I am definitely suggesting that.
Well, anyway, that's got nothing to do with the game. From my perspective, the thing that, you know, I love Madockers.
I do know that.
You certainly know
it's
that.
It's one of 3 teams you love.
Yeah, but it was a bit frustrating watching this game. Because the last few weeks, we've seen some positive signs. He was very much back to the Freo we saw in the first few weeks. That was, they lost the stoppages. Grundy actually rucked really well.
Wait, tap rucking?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
He won the ruck. I mean, I know.
How bad is Zach Clark?
He's not good.
Mm.
He's not good. But lost the stoppages again, and then it was same transition stuff. Just couldn't find a target. It was kind of different to earlier in the year, in which I got really frustrated by the fact it didn't look like they were trying to do anything
so
different.
So this was they would look aggressive but didn't have the ability to do it.
Particularly in the first half, they pulled off some. There were some really ballsy kicks that just weren't corridor kicks, which you don't expect to see from Freo.
Yeah.
And they were just. But they ended up, most of their. They have a lot of poor uses off half back.
Mm.
A lot of them, they just sort of lob it up in the air and then it'd get chopped off and then go the other way. And there were a few times when they looked like they had 3 options inside 50 and they still just poke it up in the air, and it was just very easy for Collingwood's defence. So, bloody frustrating. You saw Ross's interview at half time. He talked, like, you could tell he was pretty gutted with how they were going. And he said, look, we're going to simplify it. And there were some changes early in the second half. They were.
They gave a little bit of a push to start the second half.
They got a bit more on top in contested possessions. And then they. He said they were simplifying it. It very much looked like that. They were just bombing it along, just going direct.
Oversimplifying it then.
It worked to an extent, but you're not going to come back from 40 points down playing that. You've got to play some.
You've got to really turn the tide of the game. And
you've got to play some risky
swing momentum,
to come back from that point. But, they lifted for a little bit, and then a lot of jump time goals from Collingwood.
Extended the margin. So you thought Collingwood's backline was really good.
Which, given
that's been the vast majority of their weakness.
It's all you've talked about all year, about Collingwood, is that their backline's not accountable. And you're not wrong.
They just refuse to man up. So I'm really glad to see after 14 rounds of football, they've decided to stick to sort of the key tenet of defence. Don't let the opposition have free people in the forward line.
Well, the big difference with that was Nathan Brown back in. All he is accountable.
Absolutely.
He's not a very good footballer.
Can't do much else.
No, but he's very, very accountable. So that made a difference to them. And then you have to give Ben Reid. He's had a good year all year.
He's an excellent player. He's been All-Australian for a reason.
Yeah, he reads the play well. He drops off. He's a
good user as well for a key defender.
Yeah, he is. He can kick a long ball. He's a good player. He was good. Maynard was pretty impressive. He did his job well. He used it really well.
They need a few of these half-back kids to step up. They've got a bucket load of them, and all of them are probably below average at the moment.
Marley Williams
is dropped off.
He's important in that he runs, but he's not a great kick, really.
He's not a great defender either.
And no, he's definitely
dropped off from his performance last year.
Yeah,
he's been hurt a little bit, but that only covers a certain extent of that.
Yeah. Look, definite step up for their back. You have to say that transition work of Freo was a major reason for that. Their ball use gave them every chance.
So you think this is a bit of fool's gold?
Maybe, but I don't know. I think Brown makes a difference. I think they're working at it.
You'd hope so.
Yeah, although, look, we spent too much time on this considering his gold jacket, green jacket, but just quickly on Cloak, he wasn't great.
But I think you've got to give him a chance to... Like, I know this sounds bizarre for an $800,000 a year
keyboard
who's been an All-Australian, led the league in contested marks, kicked 70-odd goals in a season. You've got to actually give him a chance to sort of find some touchback in this forward line.
Yeah.
You've shafted him to the VFL.
Picking him for a week and then dropping him the next week was stupid.
It was absolutely abhorrent, especially when he was nowhere near the worst on ground for Collingwood that week.
Yeah.
I think you've got to let him find some touch because I do think it's as much a confidence thing.
That's 100% what it is. He worked quite hard this week. Like, he led well, he moved quite well. He made an option for them.
And like, the explanation we've got for his drop off is that he's too stupid to figure out modern footy, the game plan. Like, I've heard multiple people, including him, say, oh yeah, I've just got to figure out the game plan.
It's not that.
I think you've just got to work him back into the game. This season is dead and buried for Collingwood anyway. Why don't they try and bring him back into the game? Try and focus a bit more on using him. So many players over the years, so many very good players have been looked for and looked after to allow them to look their best and impact the game the most. I don't think Collingwood's doing that for Cloak at all, and I think they should.
I think Buckley's decided he's Linden, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And for people that don't understand Scott's stupid language...
Oh, come on, we've only got 20 listeners, and they listen every week.
He's done.
Yes, he's Linden done. He's Linden. But there were...
that is a terrible joke.
That's a great joke. There were times, like, hard hands at times, like, dropping uncontested marks, and then
know he can do that. We know that's not a talent issue, that's
the
form issue.
The moment was summed up. He did one, there was one period of play which was classic Cloak, one-on-one contest, just pushed his man off it, took a chest mark, and you thought, that is the Cloak which we saw 5 years ago,
and that's a man that can dominate a game.
Yeah, and then he missed the set shot, and
which is very much the Cloak we're used to.
True, but the way he just berated himself afterwards, you can see how many confidence issues he has, and that's,
and how he knows that every opportunity he has is crucial.
And the crowd are against him as well. His own supporters are against him.
He does need a breath of fresh air, and there are teams he could go to where he would make a difference.
Yeah,
I think Hawthorn is almost first and foremost among those, to be honest.
Yeah.
They do not have a proper key forward.
That's true.
Gunston is what he is. They can't rely on Ruffhead for very obvious and sad reasons, and I think he'd be very good there.
Yeah. There's a few. The Bulldogs, Brisbane.
Yeah.
They need a key position.
I wouldn't bother with Brisbane, given where they are.
We have spent way too much time on a game that means nothing.
But to be fair, there's a bit of good news for Freo. I'm going to introduce the best news breaker in the business. He's got a very...
Our own Damo,
the patriarch, the padre, Andrew. What piece of news can you tell us that will interest Freo fans?
Well, the breaking news is that not only does Rossi have his 5-year contract with Freo, he's made the commitment by selling his house in Templestowe for bucket loads. And apparently it's more than twice his contract.
Ooh, very interesting. So you're saying he's not going to abandon another team just when they start to hit the downswing. He's going to stick it out.
Jumps
this time
onto GWS.
Well, clearly he's not coming back to Melbourne.
Clearly. So GWS is still in the frame. That's what we can confirm.
He still jump ship to an interstate club.
Well, thank you very much for that contribution.
We love Ross.
We do love Ross. On to the winner of Gold Jacket, Green Jacket this week.
Try not to spend too much time on this one. Richmond, Brisbane. You're hating Richmond at the moment.
I've got a little theory. One of the problems they have, as you've pointed out to me, it's definitely not the only problem they have. And I want to make sure that people understand that I do know this. It is just one of the problems they have. I think they've got...
It's an interesting one, this one.
They've got too many of their prime ball users, the guys they like to get the ball in the hands of, have absolutely nothing on their left foot, but don't even try and turn once they're forced left. If they're forced left, they'll just run sideways until there's an option to go sideways of someone who can straighten up. They will never just straighten up themselves. They've just got too many guys that run sideways, and we know this, but I don't think it's just a game plan thing. I think it's Trent Cotchin, when he picks it up, if he's not on his right, he'll just run sideways and try and get four handballs in a row. Dusty does the same thing. Ellis does the same thing. I think it's a real problem, and one of the reasons they look so flaccid at times.
So we've discussed all year the fact that one of their major problems is as soon as they get the footy, they look hesitant and they go sideways and they just monopolise the footy without actually going direct. And you're suggesting that the root cause of that is they have...
Not the root cause, one of the causes is that they've got nobody who can straighten up.
Surely the direction that they're given has a fair bit to do with that.
I do think that, but they've got no one who can straighten up and swing around onto a left foot.
But doesn't everyone in the competition have that problem? How many players can play on both feet?
Yeah, but there's a difference between being able to execute it really well and being a good left footer when you're a right footed player, and being able to at least be willing to straighten up and try and get the ball forward instead of just going sideways.
Kick a wobbler on your left into the corridor that gets chopped off.
It doesn't always get chopped off, Scott, and there's a thing called territory.
I think you're reaching a little bit here.
I do not think I'm reaching. I've spoken to Richmond supporters, and the response I got was, yeah, that's probably right. So you can go, shut up, Scott.
They clearly have an emphasis on holding possession in their game plan, and they've done that to two bigger extreme, and now they're low on confidence, so they do it even more. Then maybe 1% might be the fact that they
it's
can't
kick on their
opposite
feet. It's definitely
more than 1%.
It's not a huge number. It's not a huge percentage.
What two?
At least quadruple that. Maybe 8.
It's an interesting call. I'll give you that. You're thinking outside the box, and we like that.
I'm taking from the mass media and trying to do something different. I'm not going to just be a sheep. I'm going to think outside the box. I'm looking to my idol, David King, except I'm going complete opposite way and not putting any stats to my logic.
Yeah, the stats, man.
But for Brisbane...
Sack him now, sack
absolutely.
Him.
I have another theory. I don't think Brisbane know their own structures. I just flat out think they don't know what they're trying to do.
I don't know if they have any structures.
Kick the ball and clear it, most teams have an idea of where they want that ball to go and at least have a player in the vicinity to try and create a contest in a general area of where they decide to kick the ball. Brisbane will kick the ball and no one will be there.
They look completely
lost. Opposition. And even when they've got time, they're doing this. I don't know how this is possible.
They have no direction. They have no options. They look lost.
So they have one option. Fire Lepic.
Yes. that is the only option, and it will happen by the end of the year. And they'll be a lot better off for it.
Absolutely.
This campaign's not going to end. He's going to be sacked.
You will not rest until Justin Lepic no longer has a job.
Exactly.
And you'll wonder why I call you an arsehole.
Because Richmond... weren't that impressive. Like,
no,
Richmond
fell
well
over themselves to a 40-point win.
Yes.
Which,
and that shows how bloody terrible Brisbane.
Which is only 10 less than West Coast. Let's be fair.
But anyway, look, to you, Richmond and Brisbane, gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit?
Good delivery, Scott.
Thanks, mate.
Let's move on to the real games of football. And
real games? So we've just been bothering ourselves with the imaginary ones, have we, mate?
I think so. At least I'm imagining that Richmond. I didn't watch Richmond-Brisbane. That's what I'm trying to do. Trying to forget, Scott.
Yep.
on to something that made me cry at night. Adelaide defeated North by 33 points. I'm sad, Scott.
Oh, I know you are, mate. The amount
not
of excuses
happy.
That were coming out that last quarter.
See, this is just you being an arsehole again.
Now, can I ask you, which ones are you sticking by? All you talked about the last quarter was umpires. Are you sticking with that?
They did get 7 free kicks in a row, some of which were very questionable. But no, we weren't going to win anyway.
So you've calmed down a little bit on that. The bye, are you still sticking with that? Even though we discussed at length beforehand that teams coming off the bye generally perform worse.
I said this is the only chance we had was if they came out completely flat. They didn't. You can listen to the last pod, Scott. This is what I said.
We discussed all week the fact that stats show that the team coming off the bye generally loses. There has been quite a lot of stats showing that.
Yeah, you need to look at more than just wins and losses and who they played, Scott. As you reminded me very early in the season when you claimed that North had beaten no one.
Yeah, okay. You need to look at it a bit closer, but So you're sticking with that excuse? Yeah, was it because of the bye?
Not totally. It was a game against a very good side in Adelaide who outplayed us. Adelaide had a very
so
good
that,
side.
So that's a change.
At no point have I said, other than Hawthorn, are these teams shit. At no point have I said that. Hawthorn are not good, and we'll get to that later.
No. It's changed the fact that you said you got outplayed.
We did get outplayed.
All night you said they're keeping us in the game with their poor kicking, and then it came to the last quarter and you're like, oh, we've outplayed them all night. This is ridiculous.
At three-quarter time, we had outplayed them. And so in the
They smashed you in the first, and then it was a pretty even game.
We smashed them in the second.
They kept missing. 40 scoring shots to 17.
Yeah, and most of them were junk scoring shots.
That's not true. I reckon they had 20 behinds by three-quarter time.
It's semantics, Scott.
And a lot of them were kickable. This wasn't one of those games where they were just, you know, rush behinds. They missed some easy shots.
Anyway, let's move on and actually analyse
your most pathetic excuse, guys, go with Farron Ray's injury.
So, Farron Ray. For a team playing against... Well, we should talk about the injury because it was hilarious. But for a team that is going in off back-to-back six-day breaks, facing a team coming off the bye, you think...
I'm telling you, the bye doesn't help that much.
When fatigue was always going to be a factor, you think it's a good thing that Farron Ray got injured?
It's not a good thing, but it didn't make a big difference in the game. He's an average footballer. And you still would have had quite a lot of rotation. But the interchange cap is less of an issue. Because you can't just rotate like crazy anymore.
Yeah, but it's still an issue. And at no point did I say it was a deciding factor.
I reckon you probably did.
You're just a liar, Scott. I don't know why people listen to you.
You change your tune by the time you're on recording. Every week, you sound so unreasonable during the game, and then...
I am allowed to be unreasonable during the game.
I'm on recording now. I'm going to try to sound sensible.
I am allowed to be unreasonable. I care, Scott. I'm not sure if you've heard of this phenomenon. You've been blunted with years of Melbourne's failure. You wouldn't understand what it's like to taste success.
Just aspiring
for a premiership.
Whatever, mate. Too much banter. What do you want to say about the game?
So North clearly really missed Daniel Wells, which is a bit of a no-shit Sherlock comment, but what North didn't have was outside run.
So you're adding in your excuses now, but yeah. No, Wells is
this, I'm not saying this is an excuse. I'm saying we missed him, which is accurate.
Yeah, no, that is accurate. You did miss him.
The key difference in the game was Adelaide looked very dangerous when they got to the outside and North did not. And I think that was what decided the game, really.
So this is the root cause of it, the no Wells.
No, I'm saying we missed Wells, and moving on, the difference in the game.
Was there outside class?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I can accept that.
You don't have to be so critical of my comments, Scott.
Mate, you annoyed me on Thursday night.
I really don't care, Scott. You don't have to watch the game with me.
But look, when it comes down to it, you're slipping. You're fifth now.
Well, yeah, we've got to win against the West Coast. Bye could not have come at a better time.
Two weeks ago might have been better.
I did make that point. That would have been excellent. Playing Hawthorn with a few more players would have been nice. I think we've really got to beat West Coast. It's getting to a point where we've got to keep up with the top four, which was the complete opposite to how the first half of the season played out. After West Coast, we've got a chance to sort of reset and win three or four in a row.
And then you finish off with a real tough run as well.
We'll see what it is. I think Adelaide are contenders, which is, I think, the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, we've said that a few times, and
at this point...
They're not quite there for me.
If they play a prelim in Adelaide, which is very possible, they will win that prelim. They have as big a home field advantage as West Coast.
I did the latter predictor. I had them finishing fourth.
Mm.
And that surprised me. But if they finish fourth, they're not going to beat Geelong or Sydney or whoever finishes top in the first final and get a home prelim.
I think they're every chance to.
They're not quite there. I keep saying the same thing every week, but they don't have the genuine stars and they don't have the depth of talent, particularly through the midfield.
Yeah.
I just cannot see them winning a premiership.
I think they're good enough in the midfield and excellent pretty much everywhere else. And I think that's a decent way to build a side.
They have incredible talent on the forward line and they've got some very good, honest players in the back line who understand their role very, very well. I think that's the most impressive thing about their back line.
So, Tarly is a star.
Yeah. in his role.
Laird's a star.
Star's an interesting word.
He's been an All-Australian.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
At what point is being an All-Australian not a star? When did this become
is
your
James
opinion?
Is James Frawley a star? Is Mark Jamar a star?
Both of those were incorrect decisions and should have been North Melbourne players, to be honest. Scott Thompson over James Frawley and Todd Goldstein over
Jamar. I like Rory Laird, but he's not a freakish talent.
Just to be, for the listeners, Big Papa Bear behind us was nodding in agreement to my comments there.
Whatever. But look, back to the top. Look, Rory, he's not a freakish talent sort of star. He's a very good player.
Brody Smith was an All-Australian, wasn't he?
Did he make All-Australian?
Oh, he was at least in the 40.
I really love
They've him, got so. A lot of players that are excellent in their position, and just because there aren't midfielders, you're not
The impressive thing about those players is the fact that when they need to be defensive, they're quite good at it, and then they're very smart at knowing when is the right time to run off. And I think a lot of that is coaching direction, and I think Pike's done an awesome job with that.
Yeah, he's really built on what, unfortunately, Phil Walsh left behind.
Yeah.
They haven't missed a step at all, and they've absolutely covered the loss of Dangerfield. Imagine this team with Dangerfield. Then they would 100% be contenders.
Yeah, although there is the argument that they're better off because they're playing a very selfless brand of footy.
I think that's a load of horse, and you can just be coached into playing that.
I didn't say I agree with it. I said the argument exists.
So you do agree with me on this point. You're just disagreeing for the sake of it.
Their forward line is freakishly talented. Their back line are very, very good players. You can argue stars, yes, probably. Yeah. That the game is won and lost in the midfield, and the midfield isn't quite there. Their midfield is Jacobs, Thompson and Sloan, and that's all they got.
Fair enough. I think they've got enough average players behind that to lift them into being good enough. And I think with the rest of their team, they are contenders. Well, let's move on.
We'll find out, won't we?
We will find out. Let's move on to the game of the round by a country mile.
Yeah.
St Kilda defeated Geelong by 3 points in a massive upset.
Geelong. It is confirmed that they have an issue with turning up against poorer sides. Perceived poorer sides.
Yeah. I think there might be a little bit of hubris with Geelong at the moment. It might be a bit too arrogant.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. For a Geelong supporter, the hope you have is that they've got a pretty easy draw. So they hope to still finish top two, at least top four.
Yeah.
And then they've proven that they can beat pretty much anyone on their day. And you think they will turn up for finals.
Absolutely.
So they can end up getting through.
I'd be very surprised if they didn't turn up for finals. Yeah. They've got the experience and the talent.
Yeah.
I would like to. We should talk about St Kilda.
Yeah,
Seb Ross was impressed
with St Kilda this year.
They're having a lot of young players step up, and while they've had some terrible performances, that's probably because they're reliant on their young players.
Yeah.
Seb Ross was excellent.
Yep.
Like, just offered so much more run than I thought he had in a string to his bow.
He's been pretty consistent this year too.
Jack Stevens of Jet.
He has been for a while.
Yeah.
Very underrated player.
Their midfield is, on its day, very hard to stop.
They went and talked up Mav Weller as well.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty good player. Don't think he'll ever be a star.
Good, honest footballer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's got a bit about him too. He's not just your average footballer in the way he plays. He's quick. He's fairly tough. So he's not a good, honest footballer in the sense that he's only a plodder. He's got a bit about him.
Yeah.
Their forward line is incredibly interesting.
Membry came from nowhere, really.
It's a land of a giants complemented by a land of midgets. Like, it's a really weird mix.
Yeah.
There's no medium forwards outside of Membry.
Midfield are all midgets. They've got a lot of midgets, and then just those, like, five key position players.
They're short of backman, a key defender, but Carlisle should be that. I think signs are looking good for them.
I forgot about Carlisle.
Yeah, that guy's actually all right at football when he's not
he
on cocaine.
It would help.
So I think signs are really up. They are so tough to beat at Etihad. Their record there this year is incredible in terms of when they travel.
Yeah, I think people got overly concerned with them based off two really, really poor performances against
a team that's
away.
A flat track bully and against a team that is just very good.
Yes. But take them out. And they've had a pretty impressive year, really.
Yeah.
They're a dangerous side. They're very small, but they ran
Hawthorn close, they ran North close, they've beaten Geelong.
Yep.
They've won a lot of games they should have. They're just a good up-and-coming side, and I think there's a lot to be excited for. The downside's obviously, do they lose Riewoldt and Montagna and these guys before they're ready to achieve anything, which I think they will, but at the moment, it's all positives.
And this win was awesome for the fact that, you know, they killed them early, which is great, and then they got challenged, and they for a young team to respond to that is...
Geelong got in
front.
They
got more than challenged, you're right. It looked like they'd lost it, and then they were able to respond.
So many times you see a young team start well and then just get overrun, and once it draws level, they just, not give up, but they just don't have it in them.
Yeah.
St Kilda showed
a
lot.
I'd love to see Melbourne do that.
St Kilda showed a lot by winning this game.
I've been impressed with St Kilda this year, and I think they're on a really good path.
Yeah. With Geelong, it kind of reinforced what I've been trying to say their weakness are. It's just speed that gets them. If you're not playing
you
lightning
quick... You change this every week again. You say it's an issue whenever they lose and when they win. You're like, oh, it's not that much of a problem. They've got good users.
No, you say they've got good users.
And you agree with me.
Yeah, because I don't want to seem like an idiot after they've won. Let me be triumphant.
Yeah.
If you're a very quick side and you challenge them and run incredibly hard, they do tend to struggle. It's their only weakness, I think.
I think their problem in these games is the thing. Look, I was unable to watch the game, as you know. I bloody wish I did. It would have been an absolute cracker. But the thing which really got my attention when I was reading up on it, reading the reports, was I think they used the term that they, you know, it was like the sleeping cats, or like they awoke from their slumber after half time.
That wasn't
and stuff.
The case.
Wasn't
they
the case?
They were just belted. I disagree
but they,
with
were
that.
Were they belted because they didn't turn up? Because I used those exact words about their game against Collingwood. In the first quarter, they just looked asleep. And I think that happened a few times this year.
Okay, I don't think that was the case against Carlton. I think Carlton beat them through being maniacal. And I think St Kilda were a lot closer to that as well. Geelong had their hands on the ball, and St Kilda would interrupt their ball movement with just sticking a hand in, interrupting their chain of handballs, not through just tackling, but they were sort of knocking balls away, and that really flummoxed Geelong. And once, I think Geelong move with so much confidence going forward, if you can interrupt them early in their piece of play, they don't set up defensive. I don't think many teams would do this, to be honest. I don't think this is a Geelong only issue. But when St Kilda turned the ball over, they were able to go bang, even if they turned it over in a contest where Geelong should still be set up as though there was a possibility that they were going to lose the contested ball in this situation.
Yeah. So do you not think that this is a change in their effort based on who they're playing?
I do
issue?
Not.
You think this is a game plan issue?
Not,
despite the fact that
no,
they've
no,
done
not
lost
a,
to have been
I
poor.
Don't think...
Okay, a personnel issue.
No, I don't think this is that worrying. You know how we've said before, bad teams or not great teams have their day. I think this was St Kilda's day, and they showed they can be dangerous at Etihad. I think they played incredibly well, and I think it's disingenuous to take credit away from them by saying Geelong were asleep.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't think...
But I think if Geelong had played the way they played the last month, they still would have beaten St Kilda. Even though St Kilda played extremely well, and they deserve credit for it.
I disagree with that
So was
Selwood
the same with both
was...
Carlton and Collingwood as well? That they...
No, Collingwood, they were asleep. Carlton was a bit of a mixture. This was the best performance by someone that's beaten them outside of GWS in round four or something. St Kilda were just fantastic. Geelong didn't do anything particularly wrong. Selwood was really involved in the game. Dangerfield was just pressured into his disposal, not affecting the game, which isn't a matter of him being not switched on. Duncan was involved. Guthrie had the ball enough. Like, they didn't lack contributors. Tom Ruggles played out of his mind. Menzel was pretty good. There wasn't a lack of individual contributions where you're like, all right, this guy just isn't playing hard. He's not switched on. That didn't happen. I thought this was a fantastic win for St Kilda.
Okay. So they just got outplayed, and that is a problem.
Yes.
Okay.
But
I don't 100% agree, but all right.
You didn't watch the game either, too, so you're finding it hard to...
This individual game, I'm basing it off reconciling other times I watched Geelong with what I read about this game.
Fair enough. Anyway, let's move on to the last game of the round. In a surprisingly close game, Hawthorn defeated Gold Coast by only 26 points.
How the hell are Hawthorn top of the ladder?
Yeah, it's
they've
it's
been
ridiculous.
Awful. Every game we have looked into G, not impressive.
I've been impressed by one game and then a couple of others. They've done what I thought they should do if they were good enough.
I think the only games, like if you look through every game they played, there are only two in which you say, yeah, they were good that day. That's West Coast and then the thumping of Essendon.
So that's just you did what I expected, not you impressed me.
Yeah, it's still impressive to by over 100 points.
It's just
frustrating.
Yeah, you've got a not hot take on Sicily. You think he's good?
Well, we've talked about this in the past. I don't understand how you don't think he's good.
I just think
he's a very talented player.
I think there's a ceiling on what he can be.
He's already pretty good. And he has to get better.
He's slightly above average.
He's a bit better than that.
I disagree. And
he's still only played a handful of games.
Yeah, and while I think there's the possibility, like, no, there's not the possibility. He will get better, but I just don't think he'll get that much better. He's already quite good in the air, but I don't think he can...
He's very good in the air. For his size, he's excellent.
Yeah, and that's the problem. It's quite good in the air for his size. How much can he offer you if he's taking the number one key defender?
My one issue with him is, will he find a role which he can play inconsistently? Because he's a medium
player. And I'm taking that into account.
Who plays
assessment.
Like a tall forward. Yes.
Yeah.
But
I don't think he's dynamic on the ground just at all, unless he's getting high tackles.
He's not elite, but he moves pretty well.
He's just average.
He's an athlete.
What he's got going for him is a very good set shot, so he'll make the most of his opportunities.
He loves the big occasion, which
he
is
does.
Important.
I just think he's being piped up because he's at Hawthorn. Not
you're
because
just
he's
bitter
gun.
About Hawthorn. You're just angry that Hawthorn are good.
I'm really not.
You just want to believe that they're going to get worse when everyone retires.
They're not good now, so I'm fine with it.
They're top of the ladder.
Yeah, through just... They've bullshitted their way to the top of the ladder.
I know, I agree with you. It's ridiculous. And they're not going to win the premiership. I'm
absolutely not. For Gold Coast, they might be coming out of their horror run. They've been competitive in their last two losses, which is a huge improvement on the month or two prior to that.
Yeah.
And in the best news of the year, Gary Ablett's back. Last few weeks, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah. He has his explosion back. It's not. He's not just getting ball now.
I think his legs are right.
Yeah. It looks like it, doesn't it?
It looks like he can run away from people again. And round four against Brisbane, Steph Martin ran away from him. And Steph Martin's a pretty good athlete, but he should not be running away from Gary Ablett. And it was just great to see him burst away from packs again.
Yeah, he was definitely back doing that.
I could watch him all day when he's playing like this. And exactly. 2 months ago, I wanted to cry watching him play. It was that depressing.
Yeah, he got like he got 15 clearances or something. And
he's a freak.
Was mostly contested ball, but he was doing the thing again where he gets contested ball, turns it into outside ball.
Yeah, he's the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He's a freak, and I'm just so glad to have him back. Oh, Buddy at his best is phenomenal.
Yeah, but the way there has been a good, I reckon there's been a good 7 or 8 years in which Gary, you've been able to say he's clearly the best player in the competition.
Yeah, I agree.
The players who you can put in the conversation with him, you say they were the best for 2 or 3.
And even then, I'm not sure they were, because I think Gary Ablett was probably still better and we just forgot about him.
Buddy's been clearly the best player in the comp 1 or 2 years.
Yeah. And I think his peak is equal to Gary Ablett's. He's just...
Yeah.
The most of his career, he hasn't been as good.
He'd be number two for me, but...
Yeah, I agree. I think it's one. There's quite a way. But let's get on to everyone's favourite segment, Pooch's Mailbag.
We got a question from the Pooch this week?
We do have a question for the Pooch, from the Pooch. We're not asking him anything. He just wants to know what we think of the mid-season trade period that's been proposed.
Oh, yeah. That is an interesting question.
It is. I'm not a huge fan of it, to be honest.
Not at all. I'm of the opinion that a lot of people are, that I like it in terms of you're able to recruit out of the VFL.
Yeah, that I really like. A mid-season draft, I think, would be good. I'm not a huge fan of blockbuster trades halfway through the year.
But what about the pick someone who's quite a good player who can't get a game in his team and gets picked by another side halfway through the year and then ends up having a really good second half of the year?
Like, that would happen, and I think that'd be pretty great. There are guys at North who would benefit from that, and I'd be happy to see them go. But
No, you wouldn't, but yeah.
No, Aaron Black, I'd be happy to see him play somewhere else. He's good enough. He's just not getting a look in at North.
Yeah.
We've got too many players ahead of him. And there's just... It's the fact that I think people could leverage themselves. Like, I think Dangerfield last year, if he wanted to, and there was a mid-season trade period, could have said, I'm going at the end of the year, trade me now. And while that's good, it gives teams the ability to... It gives teams the ability to get something for him at the last minute. I just don't like what it does to the competition. There's also the argument, which I think's pretty bullshit, about intellectual property and taking game plans to other teams, but I don't agree with that at all.
Personally. Yeah. I hate the idea of the speculation around it. It would just be unbelievable if there was mid-year trade. So I like, for the most part, I probably don't like it, but there are definite positives. Like, I'm happy that they're looking at it, but yeah, maybe you need to have a few controls on it. I don't know.
Yeah, the second half of the question was, who would you trade for if you had this
option? Who would you trade for?
Yeah,
I don't know off the top of my head.
I like your preparation, Scott.
Yeah, all right. What's your answer?
I do not have one either.
Oh, come on, mate. Need a defender. Let's get Hibbert.
Let's get a suspended guy.
Good point.
Let's get a guy who isn't allowed to play until you can get for free.
Contracted. Oh, there's so many issues.
But yeah, so you'd have a need. You think you'd need a defender. A halfback, probably, right?
Yes.
You say...
Particularly with Salem down.
Yeah, would you be happy to target a half-back flank? One of the GWS boys that there's a billion of?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, yeah.
Would you trade Jack Grimes for them?
Yeah, well, he'd be the obvious one for us to get rid of, I think.
Yeah.
Because I hope he's good enough to get a game elsewhere. If he leaves Melbourne, God, I hope he succeeds somewhere else.
Yeah, same.
It's a bloody sad story. Like, his attitude's good, he trains hard. It's a shame.
It is.
But, yeah, I think we probably do have to get rid of him. Yeah.
You'd be willing to let him go.
And I think there'd be a possibility he'd become a best 22 player at other teams for the rest of the year.
Absolutely.
And that's a good story.
But let's move on to the second question. And this one is going to be a live read question from a member in the audience.
Jeez, we're changing it.
We are stepping up the user experience. If anyone wants to have a live listen, let us know. But preferably if we know you.
It does cost you 9 stubbies, negotiated down from 12.
Alright, so the question is, following a plethora of bangs and bruises to players due to the synthetic ring around grounds, the question must be asked, will the AFL finally take into consideration the player's safety and remove such a hazard?
I love the expression of your questions, mate. You had the Daniel Wells one as well.
He puts thought in. To be honest, I think absolutely.
It's not ideal, is it?
No. We've had Michael Close do a knee on it. Yeah. And because it was Brisbane, the AFL didn't care. They are being sued, though, so that's nice. Daniel Menzel nearly did something.
They are bloody lucky that he didn't do something a lot worse.
If he had done his knee...
There'd be changes.
The fury would have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's like Roughhead nearly tore his back open at ANZ on a rivet.
It often
takes something going really wrong or something nearly going really wrong for them to do it. Hopefully this Menzel thing is it. It's not impossible to put normal grass around the sides of the oval. And they say... The normal grass doesn't survive because of the extra foot traffic, but I don't cop that as an excuse.
It feels like they're waiting for an incident to make it so they have to do something about it.
Absolutely. Which I think is the way the AFL operates. Like, every rule Lindsay Thomas has ever brought in has been because something happened where they had to fix it.
Yeah.
So, like, they're never proactive. They never look at things and say, let's fix this before it becomes an issue.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think when something happens that's really bad, so from a club the AFL cares about, which, as we've seen, is not Brisbane, they might get something done.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Let's move on to our final segment. Unfortunately, we are skipping James Viacamp's question again. Sorry, James.
We said we'd do it this week. Okay.
We said we would, but we ran out of time.
Next week, Whitey, next week.
But let's talk about... let's revisit my ladder predictions.
At the midway point of the year?
Well, slightly ahead, 14 games in.
We're at the buys.
Yeah, so let's have a look. I think I got bottom of the ladder pretty spot on. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for predicting Essendon.
Carlton.
I'm talking literally the bottom of the ladder.
The absolute bottom of the ladder.
I think I did pretty well. I'm not saying it was a hard pick. I just think I did well.
Don't count out Brisbane finishing last. It is possible.
Yeah, they are not good.
Essendon have Brisbane at home and Gold Coast at home. It is possible they will win both of those games.
I think Gold Coast will beat them.
It is possible.
Brisbane, they are a red hot go. I might even consider them favourites if it was to be played now.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Next up, I had Carlton, which they've outperformed expectations hugely.
Yeah, everyone's expectations. Like, you're not an idiot for that.
No, I'm an idiot for other things, but not for this.
No. I'll get to when you're an idiot.
We've got to give Carlton a massive pat on the back for the way they've played.
Absolutely.
Brendan Bolton's done a wonder job there. Third last, I had Brisbane, which. Reasonably spot on.
Yeah.
Again, not a hard pick.
Yeah, no.
They've just been awful. They are so poorly coached. They do not have oodles of talent to overcome this.
Voss to Lepic. Does it get any worse than that?
People have got to stop picking favourites, aren't they? It's just as simple as that. Next up, I had St Kilda, which I think I definitely underestimated them. They're looking pretty good.
Yeah, I remember I was the same at the start of the year. Mm. I didn't think they'd be any good, but they're a dangerous side, and they're a young side, and they're looking pretty good.
They've got a lot of aspects where you go, that could turn into something.
Yeah, they have a clear way that they're trying to play, and their personnel work.
And there's a clear path to improvement with the style of play. They've got, like, you see players developing, and you see how it's all coming together. There were question marks about 4 weeks ago after a couple of thumpings, but... I think they've turned it around pretty well.
Yeah.
Next up, I had Gold Coast, which I think is a reasonable pick.
You've done fairly well with your bottom side.
I have. Topper gets a little nasty for me.
It does.
We'll get to that. We're rushing through this, the bottom, because it's not anywhere near as interesting. Yeah. Gold Coast haven't been great. It's been a horror run of injuries again. Hopefully, they're coming out of it, but I still don't see them being all that high. I can't see them finishing any higher than fifth last.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, Richmond fall off a cliff. Next up, I had Melbourne, which is a little low.
A little bit low. I'm kind of surprised, actually, to look at this now, because you've been positive about us all year.
Yeah, I didn't think you wouldn't win games. I just couldn't see who you'd finish on top of.
There's always that, which is now very clear.
Yeah.
There's always that fear about Melbourne. They're just going to... be crap again.
Yeah, so I couldn't lift the lid off you just yet. Above, this is where it starts to show how much of an idiot I am. GWS, which, yep, wrong.
Yeah,
put my hand
wrong.
Up.
Very wrong.
They are excellent.
I don't want to rip into you too much, because I think I was about the same.
Yeah, I think they're a fantastic side, could go anywhere, and I think they will be contenders for at least, you think 10 years... I'm hopeful there'll be a few premature retirements with people getting bored with too many premierships. I think if we're lucky, it'll be seven.
Yeah, I think we have 1 year of fresh air. I don't think they'll win it this year, and then they're going to be unbelievable from this point on.
Yeah, footy might suck for a little while.
Yeah.
Next up, I had Adelaide, which again, whoops.
Yeah, a couple of poor ones there, man.
They've just covered Dangerfield so much better than I expected.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it? That's what it comes down
to. I expected a drop-off, and they've improved, so...
They've
whoops.
Certainly got better.
Again, with a lot of these, I wasn't too far off general opinion, but that's what you get for being a sheep. Got to go out on a limb.
Yeah.
Next up, one I feel pretty comfortable with. I think I'd got this pretty spot on. I'd Port 10th.
Yeah, they're looking like they'll be 9th or 10th.
Probably 9th. You gave me a lot of shit about this pick, so I'm just going to revel in this
one.
Oh,
that's right. What did I have in my fourth? Fifth,
yep.
Yeah, they disappointed me, the old powers. Hoping they'd get back to what they were a few years ago.
They've shown a couple of glimpses, but they're so inconsistent at the moment.
Yeah. They're not playing the power footy that they're capable of.
Good pun. next up, I had in a very... I don't know how to express this, but I was very happy with where I had Richmond.
You wanted the ninth. They're not going to finish ninth. No, they're worse than that.
I can't believe it, but I overestimated their ability.
They're definitely worse than
I didn't think they were going to be good, and somehow I still overestimated them.
Yeah, where do they actually sit? About fifth or sixth last?
Yeah, right in that Gold Coast territory.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And I honestly think this hasn't been a bad year. That is where they sit.
Yeah.
With their list.
I don't think they're as good as the teams above them.
I honestly think they've been played out of their skins the last few seasons.
I wouldn't go that far. I think
they've played well. 1 year.
2 years in the last three. So,
I mean, that, like, so they were borderline top four. And right now they look like they're where they belong.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think they played that much out of their skins as you do.
Well, they should have won a couple of finals.
One.
Well, just saying the fact that they finished fifth. Like,
so statistically you think they should have won.
They choked in finals.
Yeah. I disagree in the plurality of that because I'm a North supporter. I agree with the sentiment. Next up in eighth, I had the Bulldogs, and not too far off it. I think they're a little bit better than that, but not.
Yeah, you hate the Doggies.
I do.
Do you hate them at the start of the year as well? This hasn't become a new thing.
Little bit of both. I didn't like them so much, mainly as you've said, out of jealousy. But I was very high on their potential, and still am. I think going forward, they're going to be an excellent side. They're one of the few teams I can see consistently challenging GWS, talent-wise.
Yeah, that's a big call.
They've recruited so well. Their list is fantastic.
I love the Doggies.
I know you do.
They're better than eighth.
Absolutely. That's where West Coast go. I was wrong on the Dogs, but I don't think by too much. I don't think they'll make the four.
No, I think they're about fourth to sixth is about where they sit. I think they could sneak into fourth. I think they're good enough side to sneak into fourth. But yeah, and then in the next few years, they could definitely propel themselves up to the top.
I see them being a real good shot for a premiership in the next few years.
I really hope it happens, because they had that run where they were real borderline.
As soon as North aren't direct competitors with them, I'll probably be happy for them. But until that point, I hate you, Western Bulldogs.
You bloody hate them. You hate it.
Next up, gets incredibly dicey. I had Sydney.
Seventh, mate.
Yeah,
they are a top two side.
Absolutely, I wasn't the only one, which gives me a small amount of comfort.
I don't know why.
Well, I expected them to drop off a little bit. They've lost a lot of players. I didn't think they'd
find.
They
have lost a lot of players. That was like a reshore.
They've lost their entire half back line.
Who else have they lost?
Malcheski. And they didn't have a lot of run off half back to begin with. They've found a lot of it. McVay's coming back really strong after missing the first part of the season.
Yep.
Tippett's a loss, but I think they should be able to cover him reasonably well with the talent they have in the midfield.
They're a good enough side. I'm confident enough in his top two.
They are very good. Yeah, I think they're one of the better sides in the competition.
Their midfield is outstanding. They have a lot of depth.
Mm.
They've got Buddy forward.
Yeah.
I suppose that might have been a little bit of it. I mean, we both didn't have Buddy as a Coleman person. And I think we all... There was a little bit of us thinking, oh, will he come back the same player?
And he's come back the same player and in some areas better.
He's not too far off being at his absolute best. So that's a fair part of why you had him that low. But I was right and you were wrong.
Congratulations, Scott. Must feel good to be right
once in a while. We're one all now, really, with the Port as well. You were
true. I had Geelong 6, which wasn't in high enough, but... Not too disappointed with the projection going forward.
There was logic in that. We all thought they'd improve with Paddy.
We just weren't sure how much.
Yeah, we didn't know how much one person could carry them. And I think we've seen this year that he's obviously made a massive difference.
But the thing is, their other recruits have been fantastic. Zach Schmidt's offered a lot.
That's true.
Henderson, as much as you hate to admit it, has been very good.
Oh, he's been all right.
And a lot of their players have gotten back to their best. Mitch Duncan's back. Cam Guthrie's improved. Josh Caddy hasn't, which I know makes me smile a little bit. I don't know why.
Why don't you like Caddy?
I don't know. Probably he played well against North once. In fact, he did in a final.
You won it.
Yeah, so that goes. Good work psychologically breaking down my dislike for Josh Caddy there. Well done, Scott. But yeah, they've just improved in a lot of areas. Dan Menzel's been a huge get for them. Replace Stevie J.
Basically Stevie J 2.0.
He's probably improved on what Stevie J was last year. Stevie J has been better than that this year.
Yeah,
but
for
he's
sure. Yeah,
been
yeah.
an improvement for the Geelong side.
Yeah, so, that's true. Stevie improved towards the end of last year. He was playing some really good footy by the end of last year. I think by that stage, everyone's just resigned to the fact that he was going to be... after he had a disappointing start to the year, everyone just thought, he's over the hill now.
Yeah.
And people forgot about the fact that he actually did improve by the end. But there was a mistake letting him go.
Yeah, I agree. Next up, I had the biggest screw-up.
Yeah, this was a screw-up.
Collingwood. In fifth.
Fifth, mate.
Not much you can say other than... I think the root of my overestimation is I didn't realise how bad a coach Nathan Buckley was.
Yeah,
I underestimated his ineptitude.
We all got excited with how good he is in the media.
Yeah. But
apparently he's pretty terrible behind closed doors.
I like that after 14 weeks he's figured out that manning up in a defensive 50 is a good idea. That's a real positive, but it's possibly like 3 or 4 seasons
too late.
You don't
know how much of that's his fault. You don't know if he's just got some very unaccountable players.
That's true, but he should have fixed it quicker.
They're down with Richmond. They're on the same level as
Richmond. I got seduced by their talent, which I think is still there.
Still
they
exists,
are more
it?
Talented than Richmond. They are
Definitely.
Just significantly more poorly coached. They're just...
Their midfield
is unbelievable how... They are so much less than the sum of their parts. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you have to blame that
I
on the coach.
I think Clark's lack of form to an extent, although he hasn't been great for a long time, we all thought he'd be better than he has been. I think that surprised us a little bit in terms of their forward line. But their midfield bats deep. Their midfield should be good.
Their back line should be good enough.
Yeah.
And their forward line has enough players to sort of disguise.
They have had some injuries.
They have.
They were
like,
poor before their injuries, really.
Yeah. Well, Dane Swan in round one does hurt, but...
Yeah.
I don't think this is all injuries.
It's weird how good their big pickup has been in Treloar. Like, he is...
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be awesome, and he has exceeded my expectations.
It's ridiculous.
Clearly. And they're still worse than they were last year.
Yeah, it's just...
Bucks,
it's a weird kind of thing. Bucks has got to go.
He does.
Not
as badly as...
Yeah, I was about to say that.
But he's got to go, yeah.
Next up, I had a bad pick, but one that no one saw coming. Freo in fourth.
I can't have a go with you about this one.
Nah, this was a bit out of the blue. It's been injury related, but also the game plan. The game went past them for about 10 weeks.
Yeah, I think we saw their drop off coming, but we thought they'd have another year in them.
Yeah. It's just, the thing is, Sandy hasn't been there, but a lot of their older players weren't carrying them anymore last year. Like, they don't have a key forward to replace Pavlich. We knew that, but they didn't have a good Pavlich last year either. They had a serviceable Pavlich.
Yeah.
Michael Johnson's been hurt a lot, but I don't know. I don't think we realised how important he was. The big one's obviously Fife.
Yeah.
And
you suggest they're three outs are their three most important players.
Mm.
We're with
Pavlich
down, like he is, they're their three most important players are out. So that's massive.
Yeah, and I don't think they're as bad as their latter suggests they are. I think they'll be probably above teams like Richmond towards the end of the year. Or at least around the mark.
Yeah.
And I don't know,
they're not
I
as
just
bad
don't
as
really
they
know what happened.
Yeah, they've completely lost their spine.
Yeah.
Completely. And yeah, the game's gone past Ross's style a little bit, and he seems to be adjusting. And I hope he's adjusting.
I know you are, Scotty. You're a very happy man.
I've got some kids coming up. They'll be alright in a couple of years, I think.
And this is the pick I wish we'd done 2 or 3 weeks ago. North in third.
We're still only fifth.
Yeah, we're still... And we're equal with second on wins and losses, so we're not out of it. We've hit a form slump, which is making me sad, Scott. But hopefully the bye comes back. We get a few more healthy bodies in there. And we'll have a real crack. But I don't feel bad about this pick. I think on talent, it's a fairly... For a person that goes for this team, I don't think it's a ridiculous pick to put them third.
you're always blind whatever you do with North. I honestly don't think you're a top 14. I think you're a 5th to 8th team.
Yeah, but I don't think you're particularly objective either.
I'm more objective than you.
Yeah, slightly.
You are completely blind.
I think we're a shoo-in for the premiership, and you think we're between 5th and 8th, therefore we're 3rd.
you do not see North Melbourne in the same way that everyone else does.
No, but I think I'm smarter than everyone else, so
it's
it doesn't
amazing
matter.
How, you know your footy well, it's amazing how blind you are when it comes to North.
I really don't care, I enjoy
you're
it.
You're fifth now, that's about where you belong.
No, I think we're better than that.
I know you do.
Hawthorn are brothers, and we're a lot better than Hawthorn. Now let's go to the happiest pick of the bunch. I had West Coast second and didn't think they were good enough to be there. I just didn't have the balls to put anyone else higher. No. I'm so happy they are not second.
Mate, Heinz, now you're saying, oh, I picked that West Coast weren't that good.
We have it on tape, Scott.
Yeah, I agree with you. I remember. we were both the same. When Hawthorn and West Coast were both like, I don't think they're going to do it, but I don't know who to put ahead of them. So first and second, Hawthorn and West Coast.
It makes me happy that they're not good. I really enjoy it.
It doesn't really bother me that much.
I know, but you take things a lot less personally than I do. We lost them in a prelim last year, and I'm still bitter.
That's 100% the reason why you're happy they're not that good.
Yeah, and I like being right.
You weren't right. You had them second.
Yeah, but, like, I feel on an emotional level I was right.
You were wrong on this one.
Not in any, like, real terms, but in a very, like, metaphysical way. I might have been right.
You were wrong on West Coast, but you're happy you were wrong.
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
Next up I had Hawthorn, which was just being a safe pick, and it's very much the same with West Coast.
Hawthorn, you're both 100% right, because they're the same top, and I think you're very wrong at the same time.
Exactly.
They're not the best team, they should not be top.
I don't think they're one of the four best teams in terms of actually how good they are. They might finish in the top four, which is counterintuitive, but I don't think they'll get there on actual...
I don't know. I agree with
you. In
that.
A holistic sense.
I don't think they're a top four team, and I think they could get the Thumpton finals.
Mm, I'm excited for the prospect. But that's our review of my mid-season ladder predictions. How did I go?
Towards the bottom you went alright.
A few hits and misses, would you
say? You
definitely
struggled a bit at the top. I reckon mine would have been better.
I like how you say that without ever putting anyone out there.
Just because I am smarter.
Very much disagree. But let's get to the tips of the week. We'll blast through those because we know we've held on to everyone for quite a while. Not a tough one first up. West Coast Essendon.
Why,
in West Coast.
Why Thursday night? West Coast Essendon Perth. Could it get any worse with this flat track bully? It'll be over within 10 minutes.
They did lose 2 weeks ago by 100 points, so we'll wait and see.
The only excitement I get is that sick sort of amusement to see how badly it could be.
Yeah, so West Coast, right?
Yes, West Coast.
Next one, a more interesting game. Port Richmond at the G, wasn't it?
No, it's in Adelaide.
In Adelaide.
So that's not interesting. Really.
No, I think Port should win quite comfortably. They beat
absolutely.
Them over here.
That's true.
From memory,
they did.
They're a better side,
yeah.
Even if they sometimes cock it up. I don't think they will here.
Yeah, got to be pretty confident about this one. Oh, by the way, just quickly, we are even on tips now. I did tie it back up this week.
Yeah, well done, Scott. Congratulations. You're no longer inferior. You're just equal. Next up, we've got Gold Coast St Kilda on the Gold Coast.
After they win, you got to go to the Saints.
Absolutely. Question marks over their away form, and Gold Coast are starting to play
better.
That's
the one problem, yeah.
Still go St Kilda. I think they're the better side. And I think they're playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Now for the most interesting game of the round.
The one cracker of the
round. Country Mile. Sydney Dogs.
This is a belter of a game. Mm. Very excited for this.
I think it's got the potential to be a bit of a letdown. Dogs have a few players come back, which could arrest that for me, but I think Sydney could quite comfortably get over the line here.
Obviously I'm going to tip Sydney. But
coming off a fairly...
I'm hoping it's a really good game.
They're coming off a pretty good win against you, but before that, pants by the last good contender they played.
Yeah.
They'd probably want to...
They've had a couple
really
of
show
days,
something.
But overall, they've had an awesome year, and they're an awesome team.
I
you have to tip
agree.
Them.
And I... The Dogs' last knock was not good. Big loss to Geelong.
Yeah, I know. I want to rate the Doggies. I really want it.
I know, but you're struggling.
I hope they push him.
Yeah, I don't really know what I hope. Both teams are pretty competitive, so this would be a one kind of good either way.
Just support the footy that night, man.
Exactly. Next up, we've got traditional rivalry that did not think I'd be tipping Carlton to beat Collingwood.
You're tipping Carlton?
Yeah.
I'm not.
It's at Eddie Head, isn't it? No, it'd be at the G.
No, it's at the G.
Still tipping Carlton.
Ah, good. I like it when we have one different. Hey, I'm going Collingwood. Collingwood are a better team, on paper for sure.
Yeah, but they're not anywhere near as well coached.
The coaching difference is massive.
Against the team that's well coached, Collingwood don't do well.
Yeah. Nah, Collingwood will win.
Yeah, to be fair to you, you got it last week.
I did get Collingwood right last
you
week.
You went with the gut last week.
It's good to see we got one different.
It is. Next up, we've got D's Crows.
Mate, obviously I'm going to tip Adelaide, and everyone should tip Adelaide. I think we're half a chance. I honestly think it's possible that we'd win this. Coming off the bye, we're a much better team at the G, and I don't rate Adelaide as highly as you do. I'm weirdly a little bit excited.
I'd really like to see you come out and put in a good performance. I think you're a chance too. If you beat them out of the midfield, which your midfield is good enough to do,
yes,
I think you're a red hot go, because if you can control Adelaide's opportunities, you can keep them quiet enough to be in the game. And I think you're a chance to do that. I'm still going Adelaide, but I think you're a sneaky little chance.
Yeah.
Probably be going for you emotionally, but who knows? I do like it when you lose.
You love the D's, deep down.
But anyway, that's it for the 16th ever Plebs on Footy podcast. Thanks for listening to this marathon session. Broke the hour mark, and we apologise for that. As always, we can be reached on Facebook at the Plebs on Footy podcast Facebook page. I'm on Twitter at PlebRoryAFL, and I'm going to put in probably what will become a recurring request. Please let your friends know about this podcast. We are in desperate need for listeners, aren't we, Scott?
We're recording for our mates, and that's fun.
We really care about the amount of listeners, so we'd really appreciate it.
You're a flop. We're getting to begging, fellas. We're begging now.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.